Well, good morning, everybody. Today we celebrate All Saints Day, All Hallows, that is to say, all the holy ones. We celebrate as our first reading from the book of Revelation, which was written by Saint John while he was on the island of Patmos. He had a vision of heaven, and he said that there was this multitude which none could number, from every nation, of every race, and every age. And there was this cloud of witnesses, as the book of Hebrews talks about, that just surround the halls of heaven in this way in which we can't even imagine. There are over 10,000 canonized saints, and it's an incredible source of, I think, inspiration for us, and just like these hosts of prophets and ranks of apostles and the citizenship of heaven and the company of the blessed, and just like all of these incredible people. Some of them were priests, some of them were nuns, some of them were popes, some were bishops, some were deacons, some were moms, and some were dads, and some were faithful husbands and wives. And what they all have in common is that they loved Jesus Christ and lived their life faithfully according to Him and in Him. And they lived their life. Every decision was informed by Jesus, and they spent their whole lives. This opening hymn that we had today is one of my favorite hymns of all time for all the saints. And if you picked it up on the way in, just keep it with you. You can pray it with the verses, because this is what we long to be. We long to be in their company. We long to be in the company of the saints and angels. And my friends, there's great hope, because every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And you and I are sinners. But what we can do when we allow the Lord to work through us is the most amazing thing. This was our opening hymn here at St. Vincent. I had to laugh, because the opening hymn was "When the Saints Come Marching In," and then there I come marching in with the servers, and I thought, well, I think I've just become a saint. But this is a great song and a beautiful. We're going to sing the rest of it during the preparation of gifts of the altar. But we long to be in the company of the saints, and I've been thinking about I've been thinking about photosynthesis. And partly because of this book that I've been reading. And there's a really good line in here. It's called The Cloister Walk by Kathleen Norris. Listen to what she has to say. Uh-oh, I think I lost my place. But she has, here we go. Photismus is a word I've learned today from Father Godfrey, an ancient word for baptism. Photismus. I never heard that word before. I like the way it shares a root with photosynthesis, the way the saints might be said to have heeded the command in 1 John chapter 3 to come to the light. Photismus. To be like our first reading today, which is about the saints, is also filled, packed with baptism imagery. And in a certain way, to become a saint is simply to live our baptism in the way that God wants us to live it, but to live it fiercely and faithfully. And this is what I think this word photismus, to come to the light. And what does a plant do? It goes to the light, and it absorbs, by the way, two types of light, red light and blue light. Well, guess what? That's the red and the blue coming in the divine mercy, coming out of the side of Jesus. Blood and water come gushing out. And the plants absorb this, and they grow towards the light. And then they are fruitful, but also they produce oxygen. The saints, all of them, they're all from different places. This great multitude which none can number, this cloud of witnesses of all ages, of all races, and all tongues. But they all went to the light, and then they gave life. And I think that's what you and I are called to in our own day and in our own way. The saints are also different. Yesterday we had the beatification of Father Michael McGivney, who is the founder of the Knights of Columbus. There was a group of us that watched it live, the Mass, down at the Knights of Columbus here, and it was Cardinal Tobin who ordained me and used to be our bishop who was presiding at that beautiful liturgy. And I didn't realize, he mentioned in his homily, that Father Michael McGivney was 38 when he died. And he died in the 1889 flu pandemic. And providential then that 150 years later, we would be celebrating his beatification during these own crazy times. All of the saints lived in crazy times. Maybe that's because the world is always crazy. We tend to think that we're living in the end times now, but guess what? They've been thinking that forever. And there's been pandemics, there's been wars, there's been unrest, there's been upheaval, there's been craziness in the history of humankind. But guess what? God sent a saint into every one of those moments to fix it and to help be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Father Michael McGivney was sent into a pandemic, into a world that was a little crazy, quite crazy, and a lot of people died. But he was sent, and he gave last rites to thousands of people, and he ended up being a victim of that very pandemic. But he was sent as a saint. Think of all of the saints that came in the 16th century in the Protestant Reformation, when there was all this confusion, all this unrest in the church. And guess what? God sent St. Philip Neri, St. Charles Borromeo, St. John Henry Newman. God sent these crazy, amazing, holy, wonderful saints to fix things up a little bit. And so maybe we look at the kind of own little crazy that we have, and God sends a saint. Maybe that's supposed to be us. There's no lukewarm person in heaven. Oh, I could take it or leave it when it comes to the Mass. Nope. Oh, I could take it or leave it when it comes to living by God's teachings. No. The saints gave their all. The book of Revelation, our first reading, a little bit later in that book, it says God will spit out the lukewarm. And I think about that because I love a cup of coffee. Hot cup of coffee, best thing ever. But I can't stand it when it's lukewarm. Same with a McDonald's French fry. That's the best thing. But if it's lukewarm, I'll barf that thing up so fast, you know? But guys, that's the saints. That's us. And if we're lukewarm, God will says it. The Bible says he'll spit us out. We got to be on fire for Jesus Christ and him crucified and on fire for his Catholic Church. And guess what? That means that everything we do is informed by him and comes from him. And then God sends a saint into the craziness of this silly election, the craziness of all the unrest, the craziness of the virus. And God sends us and he plants us and he says, now you transform this, because guess what? I'll transform you first and then you go out and transform everything else. Look at these posters along the wall. These are posters made by a kid who started the project when he was 12 and he died when he was 15. Carlo Acutis, he is another blessed, soon to be a saint. And his pictures, if you came in the stairwell over there, his pictures are lining that stairwell. God sent a saint to be a saint for youth. In a world where youth are so easily lost to sports, video games, drugs, blah, blah, blah. You know the list. And guess what? God sends a saint into the midst of that crazy to say, no, this is how it's supposed to be. And this kid came up with all these, or documented and made posters for all these Eucharistic miracles. I've only got through the letter L. And so we have another bunch to hang up in the coming week. But please they'll be up here for months. Spend some time looking at these Eucharistic miracles, because that's another thing the saints all had in common, was they were fed by the Eucharist. The Eucharist was the center of their life, because they knew that the Eucharist is Jesus, and nothing kept them from Jesus. Jesus was the source of everything for them, and the source of all their strength, the source of all their joy, the source of all of their transformation. And our last prayer here at Mass today, it goes like this. We adore you, O God, who alone are holy and wonderful in all your saints. We don't make little gods or goddesses out of the saints. We love the saints, we venerate them, because Jesus works through them to show his holiness, to show how it's supposed to be in a world where everybody says, oh, it's 2020, that's all. No, the saints are the ones who let God to show his holiness and let God to show his wonder through them. And folks, that's so awesome that we get to be, that we are called to be a part of that great multitude which none can number. The last thing I want to say is the way we become a saint is by, as I said, living our baptism faithfully, but also living our vocation. This is the this week is National Vocation Week, where we all pray a little extra harder for more holy priests and holy religious to flood our church. To be a saint, you got to do what God is calling you to do. For me, it was to become a priest. And I'm so glad I did. And I'm glad I didn't let myself talk myself out of it, which I tried. I always say I went to IU because I knew I was supposed to be a priest, and I thought if anybody could kill my vocation, it'd be Indiana University. But God had a way of working even in the midst of that. And we got to pray hard, folks. Do you know in the year 1970, there were 415,000 priests in the world to serve 63 million Catholics? The number of priests is the same now, but the number of Catholics is double. It's now almost 1.3 billion. And that means there's a lot of souls for each priest. And to do what each soul needs, there needs to be a lot of us. And so we pray for a generous, generous increase in priests, holy good priests, to serve our church. This week, you remember Tyler and Jose, they will become candidates for holy orders. So on Thursday, they will start wearing their collar wherever they go. And we are praying very much in prayer for them. And we pray that young men from our parish will rise up and follow in their footsteps. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.